Morning scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, starting verse 24. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and of earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, and that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked times of ignorance, God is now declaring to all men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to see everybody here. Wanted to mention to you that tonight, Lord willing, we're able to come together. We're going to talk about a subject regarding the idea of being consistently obedient. And we encourage you to come back and be with us during that time. Those of you that are visiting, we appreciate you being here, and we hope that you will come back. There is a great blessing to be able to worship with the saints of God, but don't let this be the only time that you take advantage of that opportunity. Realize that there are other opportunities to do that just other than Sunday morning. There's Sunday evening and then also Wednesday evening. So avail yourself of that opportunity. It's a great blessing. Tonight, this morning's lesson is going to begin somewhat of a series of lessons for the next few weeks regarding the Word of God, the value of the Word of God. Not only that, but also how important it is that we know what the Word teaches. That is a very needed thought today in the days in which we live. And it's not only just something you learn in one generation, it's something that prevails in every generation. I would say that probably there's been a time in your life where you've been ignored. There's probably somebody that, let's say for example, you've gone to another congregation somewhere, and by the, when you left that particular congregation where you were visiting, you probably felt in your mind, well, they just ignored me. I didn't have anybody, nobody even spoke to me while I was there. And I wonder whether or not that's even happened here when people have visited here. How many people have been just ignored? They just left. No one, they thought, well, no one ever, they didn't pay attention to me. And I'm sure that some of you parents have probably even stated to your children, or you may have stated to somebody else about what your children have done, and you say, well, you know, you just ignored me. You have just absolutely ignored me. And you felt kind of offended by that because they ignored you, when they should be paying attention to everything you said or maybe some things that you did. How many times have you ever been to, let's say, Walmart or Lowe's or some other store? You've been to the mall or been somewhere in Dillard's or some other place and you've been shopping, and there have been at least six people, or maybe two or three people have just passed by you, and you're sitting there and you're looking and you're trying to figure out what you're supposed to get, what it is you need, and they just ignore you. They just walk on by. They don't even ask you anything. And you feel kind of offended by the fact that somebody would just ignore the fact that you're there and you're puzzled and you're confused and you don't know what you're doing and you're trying to figure out what it is you need, and they're not helping you one bit. You kind of feel bad when it is that when people ignore you. You just don't like that. When you're talking to somebody, and they're looking this way, and they're looking at you, or and they're looking at that way, and you're trying to pay it, and you're trying to tell them something, and they're not paying attention to you, and you just kind of want to sock them in the jaw, don't you? beginning to pay attention to you. So you're listening. And there's probably been time after time after time when there's been Bible class teachers and there's been preachers just like myself standing in front of a group like this, and they're just ignoring me. And I'm thinking, well, aren't you going to pay attention? This is pretty important. This is pretty important. Or else I wouldn't spend all the time getting ready for this, you know. Well, let's just turn it over here and think about God. Do you think God really is concerned and it matters to Him that people ignore Him? When He's got this revelation of His Word delivered to us, has been handed down over generation to generation, is preserved over time by His divine providence and care, and He's made very careful, paid very careful attention to make sure it was accurately given and expressed to people completely so they would not be mistaken at all as to what it was He wanted done. And He's taken the time and opportunity to make sure this happened, and He talks, and here we are. Are we really paying attention and listening to Him? And I think about all the many times that He talked to the people of Israel through the prophets and the priests and on and on and on and on. And here comes Jesus Christ along, and He's the voice, the messenger of God Himself. And people just don't listen. Do you think it really bothers God that we don't listen to what it is that He's teaching us and trying to get us to understand it? The thing about it is, as a result of us ignoring God, we become to be ignorant people. Interesting how that works. You ignore, you become ignorant. As a result of that ignorance, that becomes to be the problem that we're going to have to see what we can do to eliminate. Because when you look at what Rodney read to us just a moment ago in the book of Acts chapter 17, this is not considered by God a very light thing. Because verse 30 says, the time of ignorance therefore God overlooked, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent. Therefore, here we are with a problem. A problem called ignorance. Why is this problem existing? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament and you listen to what goes on in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, you will see that to some degree it may be a generational problem. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, it was stated by Moses to the people of Israel that they should obey the commandments and the statutes of God. In verse 2, it says that they may fear Jehovah thy God to keep all His statutes and the commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear and observe to do these things, and if you do, in verse 3, it says you'll be well to do it. You'll increase mightily, and the God, the Father of you, will have promised unto thee a land flowing with milk and honey. And it begins to talk about in verse 4 to verse 9, how important it is that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And He proceeds to tell them what process that you take to make sure that this generation and the next and the next and the next knows who God is. That way they won't be ignorant. And they won't be ignoring God. You think, well, man, that's a great thing. Well, as time went on, when you get to the book of Hosea, you would think, well, maybe these people are going to pay attention. They're going to listen very carefully to what it is the prophets and priests say. But in chapter 4, verse 1 of the book of Hosea, it says, hear the word of Jehovah, ye children of Israel. For Jehovah has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor goodness, nor knowledge of God in the land. Man, what a devastating situation. What's happened is, in verse 2, it says, there's naught but swearing and breaking faith and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break out, blood touching blood. Therefore shall the land mourn. Everyone that dwells therein shall languish for the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens, yea, the fish of the sea. They shall also be taken away. And why in the world does this happen? Because there were so many priests and so many prophets that told them this. Why are they ignoring? Look in verse 6. My people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, and thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I'll also forget thy children. Man, what a devastating situation that is. That is absolutely terrible. These people are definitely self-centered, and as a result of that, they're self-destructing because of their ignorance. Ignorance is a problem. We may think, well, this is just a matter of something that took place in the Old Testament. Well, when you turn to the New Testament, it was not any different. Because there were people in the days of Jesus Christ that were ignoring Him. In the book of Luke chapter 23, the death of Jesus Christ came as a result of ignorance. Jesus even Himself said in verse 34 of Luke 23, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know what it is they're doing. Why is it they don't know what they're doing? They're ignorant of it. They don't know any better. And he watches them do something that they should have known. And I bet you have seen people, and I've seen people, we watch people do things, we think, well, what in the world are they doing? Don't they know that if they continue to do what they're doing, what's going to happen? Don't they know what the end result that's going to be? Don't they know that what they're doing is sin? Have they not understood anything? I mean, when's it going to click? When's it going to click? From the days of the Old Testament, even to the days of Jesus Christ, people have become ignorant. Matter of fact, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 says the ignorance of the people is what led to the death of Jesus. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord. Even when Jesus was raised from the dead, if you go back to the book of Luke again, and look at Luke chapter 24. There's something in the book of Luke chapter 24 in the conversation that takes place after his resurrection. These two men are on the road to Emmaus in verse 13, and they're discussing some of the events of the time, but what happened with Jesus. Jesus appears to them. When Jesus appears to them, you begin to see the conversation take place in verse 17. He said to them, well, what communications are these that you have one with another as you walk the way? And they stood there looking sad. Then verse 19, they said to him, well, what? Jesus said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the Nazarene, who's a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And then they talk a little bit more in verse 21, but we hope that he was the one who would redeem Israel. They didn't find his body, as it said in verse 23. Then in verse 24, certain of them, when they were went with us to the tomb and found it even as the women had said, but him they didn't see. And then Jesus explains in verse 25, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You don't remember what they were telling you? In verse 26, behooved it not the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And at that point, he began from Moses and from all the prophets. He interpreted unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning them. Why in the world don't they know? Why in the world don't they understand? They're not listening. They're totally ignorant of what's going on here. Jesus took Moses and the prophets and spoke to them about himself. This case right here definitely shows that ignorance is a problem. It was on the day of Jesus. And even in this day and time, Paul made a prophecy in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 regarding the times that were coming, discussing what actions of people would be immoral and ungodly and corrupt and destructive. And he talked about these people, that they were people who were ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 7. And that's about the situation that you see in this generation. And in some cases, you've seen in every generation, they'll come to Bible class. They'll listen to all kinds of sermons. They'll listen to 365, double that a year, maybe in some cases, Bible classes and sermons. 52 weeks of the year, I should say, rather than 365 days. 52 times 2. You see all that going on. You think, well, they ought to be able to learn something. They ought to be able to know something. But they're learning and they never ever come to the knowledge of the truth. In the book of Acts, the 13th chapter, verse 27, it says, concerning the death of Jesus, they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. Read every Sabbath day. Why? How can you overlook several hundred prophecies? How can you overlook what these things? How in the world does this happen? People become ignorant. They hear sermon after sermon, Bible class after Bible class, but they're just void of spiritual knowledge. They just go on as if this didn't ever happen. And they're just like the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 to verse 7 talks about. It is something that I've witnessed in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. Why ignorance is a problem is there are some people who lust after ignorance. We don't think often that the idea of ignorance is something that people will lust after. Let me just let you understand something. The less people know, the less responsible they feel. Therefore, if you want to tell them about certain things, about life insurance for a minute, And how important it is to prepare for all that you need after you die, for your family. Some people don't want to even talk about dying. They don't even talk about that. They want to ignore it. They lust for the ignorance of their death and everything that's going to take place after that, preparation for their family. Same thing's true with sin. If you tell me about sin, that makes me responsible. That makes me have to feel guilty and painful and agonized, and that makes me want to have to do something about it. I don't want to feel that way, so therefore I would rather lust to not know. I'd rather be ignorant of it. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 12, there's great blessings that come as a result of those who are in Jesus Christ. He talks about the reward, the reserved place in heaven, that is, the inheritance, heaven itself. But then he says in verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and set your hope perfectly on the graces brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in the times of your ignorance. But likewise be ye called, as he who called you is holy, be ye also yourselves holy in all manner of living." Former lust and ignorance, that's all those things you used to do. But there's some things associated with lust that involve ignorance. People would rather know more about what they can do to sin more than they would know about what righteousness is. They don't want to know what righteousness is. That makes them have to do away with what sin is. They'd rather just be lustful and ignorant. They'd rather not know. They'd rather be ignorant. And that lust for ignorance has kind of watched, we've seen that happen. You think about this idea of purity, or I should say the lack of purity is a problem. Why is that? It's because people don't know the blessings of purity. And as a result, what do you got? You've got children, young girls, who come up expecting a child out of wedlock. You've got a husband and a wife who marry for 1, 2, 3 years, and they divorce. You've got immodesty prevalent all over the place. And why is that? It's because people lack the knowledge of purity. And as a result of the lust for that ignorance and wanting to be what they want to be, they don't want to be told anything different. And therefore, as a result, what we've got a problem with ignorance. People don't want to know what the right thing is. Because if they knew what the right thing was, they'd have to change. They'd feel guilty. It'd bother them. And people don't want to be bothered. That's the problem of ignorance. Well, I will say this. Ignorance is without excuse. There was one man who said something very profound when he said, "I guess sometimes we are ignorant of our own ignorance." We're ignorant of our own ignorance. Go with me to the book of John for a minute. In the book of John chapter 9. Where in the book of John chapter 9, there's a man that's healed of his blindness. Now that healing that takes place begins to serve as a great lesson for all the other people that have observed it, and especially going to bring about a very great spiritual lesson. As this man's healed, and there's the controversy of the fact that he is, how can he be healed, and because he's a sinner and all these kinds of things, but then the man points out that yes, he was healed. In verse 35, Jesus heard that he had cast him out, that they had cast this blind man out who was now able to see. They found him and he says, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And he answered, "Well, who is the Lord? Who is he, Lord, and that I may believe on him?" And Jesus says, "Thou that hast both seen him, and he it is that speaks with thee." And the Lord, and he said, "Lord, I believe," in verse 38, and he worshipped him. Now here comes the lesson, verse 39. Jesus said, "For judgment came I into the world, that they that see not may see, and that they that see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees that were with him heard these things, and they said, "Well, are we blind? Are we blind?" And then Jesus comes back and says, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. If you were blind, you would know that, and you would come to me to have that blindness taken away, and there'd be no sin. But now you say, we see, your sins remain." It's right there in front of them, but they can't see it. And that's the same thing that goes on with us. We're ignorant, but sometimes we just can't see that. There is no excuse for the fact that we are ignorant. There's so many opportunities for that to be eliminated. For example, when you talk about the book of Luke chapter 12, verse 48, to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Accountability goes hand in hand. With what you hear today, you're going to be accountable for it. Now, you may not pay attention to anything I'm saying, and it may not really sink down deep into your heart, but you're going to be accountable to it because you have brought yourself to this point, this morning, in this audience, in this pew, in which you said, therefore, as a result of that, you have become to be accountable to everything you say, do, or think. Now, I may not go around the room tonight and ask you, do you feel accountable? But God will hold you accountable to it. Matter of fact, when we get through today, by the time the prayer is said before we're all dismissed, it may very well be that whoever says that prayer and leads us in that prayer will say to us, or to God in that prayer, help us to what? Take what we've learned and apply it to our life. We're all accountable to that. Therefore, there's no excuse for ignorance. We take this information, but what are we going to do with it when we get it? There's a case in the book of Acts chapter 3, verse 17 to verse 19, that reveals to us the ignorance that brought about the killing of Jesus Christ. But in that case, even though they were ignorant of it, what were they told to do? They were told to repent. They were not told, well, I'm sorry you didn't know, and I understand very well the fact that you didn't know this, and if you'd have known it, I would have understood. But now since you don't know it, then we're not going to hold you accountable to it. You're not responsible. They were told to repent in the book of Acts chapter 2. In the case with the book of Acts chapter 19, something that goes on in the book of Acts chapter 19 is a very interesting situation where Paul has found himself among some people who are folks who you will notice in verse 22 who have been people. That should be Acts 19, where there are people who are very religious, but these very religious people are worshiping in verse 23 an unknown God, or as well as other idols. Which Paul says, what therefore you worship in ignorance, this I set forth unto you. We're some God here we don't know, we don't really know what to call him. And then Paul begins to explain to them who God really is in verse 24. Then all the way down to verse 30, he says, I want you to know something about this God. He is the one that you should be serving, and you don't need to be ignorant of him. You need to obey him. That's what you need to do. What you need to do. And therefore, the times of ignorance, therefore, God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. There is no excuse for not knowing God. Matter of fact, when you go to the book of Romans chapter 1, and you begin to see in verse 19 through 21, the revelation of all the things that God has made in the world in creating it, what does that do for us? That provides us with no excuse of not following God. That's what he says in verse 21. They may be without excuse and do all the things that God has done. Therefore, there is no excuse. There is no excuse for us to be ignorant today. The technology of which we have at our fingertips and at the click of a mouse exposes us to the opportunities so that we cannot be ignorant of anything. Of anything. Including the Scriptures. There's so many opportunities for us to know and understand. The book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 4, Paul talks about the written word is there for you to read and understand. Even in the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 11, he says they study them daily to know whether the things that were taught were so. The Bereans did. We're told to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are people who are in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, where it says, even if you don't know, there are other people who are capable of teaching you what you need to know. Therefore, I go back to the statement and say there is no excuse for ignorance. Everybody ought to know about what the Scriptures teach. There's no excuse for people who are raised, as we say in the church, not to know the books of the Old Testament and the books of the New Testament and know what salvation means and know what grace means. There's no excuse for a child that's 5 years old in this audience not to know the 12 apostles who grows up in the church. They should know these things. There's no excuse for a child of God not to know and explain what faith in the book of Romans 4, talks about grace in the book of Romans 5 talks about, and obedience in the book of Romans 6 where it talks about that. And baptism in that chapter. There is no excuse for marriages in this audience to fail. There's no excuse for any parent in this audience to fail, according to the Scriptures. There's no excuse for us to divide. There's not even any excuse for us not to know what to do before we die. And what's going to happen after we die. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there was something that Paul was addressed about regarding the death of children of God. In verse 13 of the book of 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, "We would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are fallen asleep, that you sorrow not, even as the rest who have no hope." Then he begins to explain to them what it is they need to know. Therefore, that way they wouldn't be ignorant. And then he says in the last verse of that chapter, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You can tell somebody else about these very same things. There's no excuse to be ignorant about what's going to happen after you die. It's not like you're just dead and that's it. He tells them in verse 14, "Them also that are fallen asleep in Christ Jesus will God bring with Him." Instead of us getting all bent out of shape as to how God's going to do all that and puzzle ourselves to try to figure out how that's going to happen, just accept the fact of what verse 14 says. "Them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus Christ will God bring with Him." Just accept that by faith. But don't be ignorant of that very fact. That's what Paul's trying to get them to understand. Therefore, there's no excuse for us to be ignorant. If we are ignorant, it is the choice that we have made. It's the choice that we have made. If you choose ignorance, I want to leave with you this morning what the pain of ignorance is like. If you choose to be ignorant, there's a pain that's associated with it. Is there really truth to the saying, "What I don't know won't hurt me"? As long as I don't know it, then it's really a blessing to me not to know. Not according to the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 30. It says, "Therefore now, he commands all men everywhere to repent." It's really not a blessing, is it? To sit back and just live blissfully unaware of all the facts and the obligations that might bother us. It's not a blessing. Therefore, we've got to come away from this ignorance, because if we don't, it's going to be very painful to us. Let me illustrate that too. In the book of James chapter 4, verse 17, the very last verse of that chapter says, "To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Do you know that there's pain associated with the ignorance of that? There is pain that comes as a result of the ignorance, failure to do what we should do. And there's some people in this audience this morning that if I were to ask them about what the Bible says about this and this and this, they can tell me. But the application of that, they don't do it. In other words, "Is to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We reveal our foolishness and our ignorance by refusing to work out what we know we should do. The pain that comes as a result of the ignorance. Can't you see that? Can't you feel that? Even in the book of Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed because of the lack of it, because of the lack of knowledge, because of their ignorance." Ignorance is one of these things that destroys people's lives. That's what you see and reveal in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 27 and verse 31. There's pain associated with ignorance. Not bliss. But you see, our ignorance is one of these things that's created within us, the sense by which what we're going to do is we're going to do our own thing. And that's what the book of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 talks about. There is a way that seems right unto men, but in the end thereof is the way of death. It looks right. And everybody kind of develops a mind of their own. If they develop a mind of their own, they become ignorant of God's righteousness. As a result of that, what do you think they're going to do? they're going to find themselves further and further in sin. There are some groups out here who would rather you not know what the right way is. They would rather be the ones who will get some man up here or some group of people who will make the decisions for you and let you know what you need to know. And you don't need to study. You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to take the time and effort. We'll just tell you what you need to do. The pain of ignorance is one of these things. When you look at the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, what it leads to is a hardened heart. People who have rejected God, people who are alienated, people who are absolutely unaware that what they're doing is hurting themselves more and more and more. They're just what we would call hard-headed. They have no feelings. They're past feeling. There's past feeling. The pain of ignorance. When people don't know what it is they need to be doing, it's going to hurt them more and more and more and more. And let me just emphasize this. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to verse 14, it's going to also have its impact upon the family of God. For when by reason, this is Hebrews chapter 5, 12, for when by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the first principles of the oracles of God, and are such become as in need of milk and not of solid food. Everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, but he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who, by reason of their use, have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. Do you know what the pain of ignorance does to a family of God, to a church? It's gotten to the point where now you're having to teach again people who have been Christians for 20 and 30 and 40 years, who ought to know these things. And it's amazing to me how often you will see people that are Christians that long a time not really rely upon the absolute truth of the Word of God. Do you know today, statistically, if I were to put five teenagers in front of you right here, only one of those five would believe that the Bible is the absolute truth, the Word of God, as a standard that we should follow? If I put three adults, only one of those three adults would believe the very same thing. Therefore, if you ask those three adults or those five teenagers, do you believe that the Bible is the absolute truth of the Word of God for everything regarding right and wrong, and that is the one that dictates and is the standard by which they follow? One of them will say yes. The other four will say no. One adult will say yes. The other two will say no. And what we're dealing with is the pain of ignorance as a result of them not knowing that and their belief of that. That's what the church has to deal with too. And as a result of that, you've got elders and teachers and preachers who are having to talk about different things that brethren are totally ignorant of. And they just don't know. They just don't understand. And they battle that back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth about issues regarding dancing and immodesty and social drinking. And on the list goes of all those things that is debated and pitched back and forth over the net as to who's going to do what and when they're going to do what. Because of ignorance and the pain of ignorance, the church feels the pain. But then when you look at the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, you will see the ultimate pain of ignorance. When it says in verse 7, "And to you that are afflicted rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, from heaven with the angels of His power and flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might." You know what that really is? That's what I'd call self-condemnation. That's a matter of self-condemning because of their ignorance. It says in verse 8, "Rendering vengeance to them that know not God." In the scriptures in the book of Proverbs 15, verse 32, it says, "He that refuses correction despises his own soul. But he that hearkens to reproof gets understanding." It's amazing that in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Therefore, Let me let you think about this before we close this morning. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37 and verse 38, he addresses how it is that some people think themselves to be spiritual. He says, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of this, that the things which I write unto you, they are the commandment of the Lord. Understand that one point, because there's a period after the end of that sentence. Then he addresses something else and says, if any man is ignorant, let him be ignorant. If any man is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Ignorance is self-condemning. It's painful. It's destructive. It's harmful. It's hurtful. It's agonizing. And on the adjectives could be used and applied to what ignorance does. Therefore, we are without excuse to be ignorant. We need to know and we need to understand. We have the capability and we can know this. Remember I said a while ago that ignorance was one of those things that brought about the death of Jesus Christ. But it wasn't necessarily ignorance that brought Jesus to the point of dying on the cross. I didn't come here just because people are ignorant. He wanted them to know, yes, but what Jesus came to do is to save people from their sin. I don't know if you have come to the realization or not about sin in your life, but I want you to know that Jesus came to the world to eliminate that sin, to wash away the sin with His blood. Your obedience to Him, by your repentance, as Acts 17:30 says, you can't just go through life ignorant anymore. You know the sin exists. Now, therefore, you need to repent. You need to change your life. Then Jesus came, shedding His blood, so that not only would you repent and change your life, but there you would come to Him. The closeness that you have with Jesus comes as a result of your baptism into the water, where you contact the blood. You're buried down in the water, you come up walking, newness of life. Therefore, that relationship that you have with Him is one now that you'll be blessed with. And at that point in time, I'll say this, you'll be glad to know that you realize you were in sin. And you'll be glad to know that the Lord was the one that washed it away. That's something you can understand by the time you leave this building this morning. So do what's right while together we sing this song.